Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into some really fascinating research about a gene called SETBP1. And honestly, this is one of those studies that's going to change how doctors diagnose certain neurodevelopmental disorders.
Right. So SETP1. It's not exactly a household name, but variants in this gene cause some pretty serious conditions. We're talking about things like Schinzel-Gideon syndrome, which is, it's really severe, Alex.
Yeah. SGS is incredibly challenging. Kids with this syndrome often have major congenital malformations, severe intellectual disability, seizures, and sadly, many don't survive past their first decade. It's heartbreaking.
But here's where it gets interesting. The same gene, SETBP1, can also cause a much milder condition called SETBP1 haploinsufficiency disorder. So you've got this huge range of severity from the same gene, which, that's pretty unusual, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes this study so important. The researchers looked at 18 individuals with SETBP1 variants that fall outside this specific region called the DGRON. These variants were causing symptoms that didn't quite fit either of the known conditions.
So, like, they're in this diagnostic gray zone?
Pretty much. Yeah. And for families, that uncertainty is really difficult. You know, not having a clear diagnosis makes it hard to know what to expect, what treatments might help. It's tough all around.
So what did the researchers actually do here? I mean, how do you even begin to untangle something this complex?
Well, they took this really comprehensive approach. First, they did thorough clinical assessments of all 18 individuals, including detailed speech and language testing. Then, and this is the cool part, they went into the lab and tested how these specific variants actually affect the SETBP1 protein.
Oh, so they're connecting the genetics directly to what's happening at the cellular level? Wait, they made neurons from skin cells? That's wild.
I know, right? It's pretty amazing what's possible now. But anyway, what they found was that these variants outside the DGRON region cause problems through completely different mechanisms than the classic SGS variants.
Different how?
So, the classic SGS variants, the ones in this DGRON region, they basically make the protein too stable. It doesn't get broken down properly, so it accumulates. But these other variants, they're causing loss of function in different ways, like reducing the protein's ability to bind DNA or activate genes, without necessarily changing how much protein there is.
Okay, so it's not just about having too much or too little protein. It's about the protein not working right, even when it's there at normal levels.
Bingo. And that explains why the clinical features are so variable. The researchers found that variants closer to the DGRON region tended to cause more severe symptoms, closer to SGS, while variants further away were milder, more similar to the haploinsufficiency disorder.
It's like a gradient of severity based on where the mutation is.
Pretty much, yeah. And they even use this AI tool called PhenoScore to quantify facial features and clinical symptoms. And it confirmed that these individuals fall on a spectrum between the two known conditions.
An AI that analyzes faces? That's actually really clever for diagnosis, especially with rare conditions where doctors might not have seen many cases.
Absolutely. And speaking of diagnosis, one of the really important findings was about speech and language. All 7 individuals they tested showed significant speech impairments, and 5 of them had childhood apraxia of speech.
Apraxia of speech. That's where the brain has trouble planning the movements for speech, right? Even though the muscles themselves work fine?
Exactly right. And here's a really cool connection. They discovered that SETBP1 directly regulates another gene called FOXP2, which is one of the few genes we know causes speech disorders when it's disrupted.
Oh, wow. So these two genes are connected in a pathway?
Yep. SETBP1 activates FOXP2. And when you have these SETBP1 variants, FOXP2 expression goes down. So that's likely a big part of why these kids struggle so much with speech.
That's actually a pretty major finding for understanding speech disorders in general, not just for this one gene.
Definitely. And the researchers did something else really innovative. they looked at the transcriptomes, basically all the gene expression patterns in patient cells, and they found that the three different types of variants, SGS, outside Degron, and haploinsufficiency, each had partially overlapping but distinct gene expression signatures.
So even at the molecular level, you can see that these are related but different conditions.
Exactly. And when they made neurons from patient cells, they saw differences in how well the cells differentiated, the shape of the neurons, everything. It all pointed to these variants affecting brain development in distinct ways.
So, okay, let me make sure I've got this straight. We've got one gene, SETBP1, but depending on where and how it's mutated, you get a whole spectrum of disorders with different severities and different underlying mechanisms.
That's it, exactly. And what makes this study so valuable is that it gives doctors and genetic counselors much better tools for diagnosis and prognosis. Before this, a lot of these variants were classified as variants of uncertain significance, which is basically medical speak for, we don't know what this means.
And that must be terrifying for families, to get genetic results, but no real answers.
It really is. But now, with this functional work, they can actually test these variants in cells and say, yes, this is pathogenic, and here's approximately what to expect.
So what does this mean for treatment? Can any of this be targeted therapeutically?
Well, that's the next frontier, right? Understanding the mechanisms is the first step. Now that we know these variants affect things like protein degradation, DNA binding, and transcription in specific ways, researchers can start thinking about targeted interventions, but we're probably talking years of additional research before we get there.
But at least there's a path forward now. And in the meantime, better diagnosis means better supportive care, right? Like, knowing a child is likely to have speech problems means you can start therapy earlier.
Absolutely. Early intervention makes a huge difference. And this study showed that all the kids who got speech therapy benefited from it, even if they still had significant challenges. So yeah, accurate diagnosis really matters.
You know what strikes me about this whole study? It's such a great example of how genetics is way more complicated than we used to think. It's not just one gene, one disease.
Oh, absolutely. The old model was way too simple. Now we're seeing that where a variant is, what specific amino acid change it causes, how that affects protein structure and function, all of that matters.
And I imagine this kind of detailed functional work is going to become more and more important as we identify more variants of uncertain significance in other genes too.
Definitely. This study is really a model for how to approach these complex genetic disorders. You need the clinical phenotyping, the cellular assays, the transcriptomics. You need all these layers of evidence to really understand what's going on.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I think the main takeaway is just, we're getting so much better at precision medicine. We're moving away from these broad diagnostic categories toward understanding the specific molecular mechanisms in individual patients. And that's ultimately going to lead to better outcomes for kids with these conditions.
Well said. All right, everyone. That's it for today's episode of the Origene Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.